foundation, a little louder. We need a word right now.
Faith that is not absolute is impotent. But when faith in God is absolute, result is inevitable. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Be blessed as you listen to this life-transforming message by the anointed servant of God. Your faith shall be built up and your miracle delivered.
Send away the word in this house
today. Once again, you are welcome to God's presence this hour, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me start by saying that heaven is the epitome of wealth and splendor. Heaven is the epitome of wealth and splendor. I believe someone still remembers the theme of this month. What is the theme of this month? Let's say it again. Let's say it a third time. Say amen. God showed Apostle John a glimpse of the splendor of heaven in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, and he carried me, that's John, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. The walls of the glorious city of God was jasper. Not mud. Not cement. Not concrete. But jasper. The city was of pure gold. You will never find any of such on the earth. In the richest country of the earth, you will never find that. If you know anywhere like that, let me know. That they use gold to build house. Praise the living Jesus. Revelation chapter 21 verse 18. The foundation of the walls of the city were precious stones. Revelation chapter 21 verse 19. The gates were made of iron. The gates were not made of iron, but the gates were made of pearls. Revelation 21, 21. And all the streets were made of gold. Not tar. Somebody say gold. And the Bible said pure gold. When you have a piece of a trinket around you that is pure gold. In fact, in most cases, people want to display it for people to see. You just want little thing like that. But you want people to see it so that because it's shining. But the Bible said the street that you pass, the street that you walk on, was made with pure gold. So heaven is indeed the home of beauty. Heaven is indeed the home of splendor. Heaven is indeed is the home of wealth. That cannot be compared to anything on the earth. Praise the living Jesus. All through this month of July, in our Sunday sessions, we shall be looking at this topic, assessing heaven's order of financial fortune. And we're dealing with part 1A right now. Assessing heaven order of financial fortune. Assessing heaven's order of financial fortune. I believe somebody still has his or her Bible there. Please open your Bible to the book of Malachi. Malachi, we're going to read two verses of the scriptures in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, then we move to chapter 4. Praise the living Jesus. Malachi, if you are there, say amen. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And the one before Matthew, so that you'll be able to locate it quickly. Praise the living Jesus. Malachi chapter 3, we are reading verse 16. To 18. Are you there? Now let's go. One, two, go. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's go to chapter 4. We're going to read from verse 1 all through to 4. Verse 1 now, let's go. 1, 2, go. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. 3. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 4 now. Remember ye the law of Moses, that's my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. A book of remembrance is open for the saints. And if that includes you, that means a book of remembrance is open concerning you before God. In the mighty name of Jesus. God has reserved a day that he called the day of his dwellers for the end time church of Christ before the Lord returns. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very near. But God has reserved a day called the day of his dwellers, just as we read it in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17 to 18. The saints were already agitating. What is happening? It's like God has forgotten. What is happening to us? It's like nobody is remembering us. It's like nobody is doing anything for us. It's like God has forgotten us. And God responded. He said, they shall be, he said, and they that fear the Lord spake, then, in verse 17, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. That in that day, when I make up my jewels, I will spare them. Praise the living Jesus. So the day of God's jewels is the day of the manifestation of heaven's beauty, heaven's glamour, and heaven's wealth on the earth. Hear this. Before Jesus returns, the church will be in charge. I thought you believe. Because the economic power that the enemy is using shall be transferred to the people of God, and the church will be empowered. If you believe that, let your amen show it. Amen. The day of the jewel of God is the day of distinction between those that are for God and those that are not. That's why it is very important for everyone to know where he or she is standing. It's a day of distinction, a day of demarcation between those that are truly for God and those that are not. Whether they are saying it and not meaning it, or they are not even saying it at all, or they are just antagonistic to God. But it's a day of distinction. It's a day when God will be releasing his word to the church so that the church can rule in the midst of our enemies. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. So that the church can take command even while the enemy is looking. And the enemy is helpless. This is the agenda of God. We are just privileged to be around now. And it is very important that we take advantage of this by accepting responsibility. If you are, come and say, here. It is a day of economic and all-round empowerment for the church of Jesus Christ. It is a day of the fulfillment of Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse number 6, among other things, says, ye shall lend unto many nations. Not nations. Many nations. Say, ye shall not borrow. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse number 12, among other things, says, ye shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Why? Economic empowerment has been released unto the church. That is the day of the dwell of God. He said, I will make them up. I will give them makeup. You know, when a woman dresses up before he dresses, does all the makeup and all the stuff, the woman comes out, is looking more beautiful. Do you agree? Women shout a living hallelujah. After the makeup, is looking more beautiful. But that makeup is temporal. Huh? Am I right? All right. Because that makeup, after some time, she will need to apply another one. Otherwise, praise the name of Jesus. I will make up my jewels. I will make them up. And this makeup of God is for the beauty of the saints. But it's everlasting. Hallelujah. Hear this. We are right at the verge of this day of God's jewels. You will see saints taking position in different trades, different calling, different endeavor. But the good thing is that you'll be one of them. If you believe, let your amen show it. If you know that you are going to be one of them, let your amen be louder. So, strong people, strong nation will be asking the church, we need solution. We know that you have solution. Come and talk to us. Come, and who is the church? Who is the church? All right. Hear this. Anyone that does not want to believe you, you have a choice not to. But if God says so, I know his word cannot change. We sang that song right from the beginning. Because his word is not settled in America. His word is not settled in any nation on the earth. His word is settled forever in heaven. Settled before you and I were born. Before our forefathers were born, the word of God was settled in heaven. So if God says so, it means so. If God says so, I believe so. But access to heaven's order or financial fortune is not for all. It's not for all. We are not talking about, when we say financial fortune, heaven's order of financial fortune, we are not talking about what you will make from the $5 an hour. No, we are talking about the blessing that is being released upon you. How will it come? From everywhere, from everywhere, from every source. Praise the living Jesus. We are talking about something that is beyond what eyes have seen, something that is beyond what ears have heard. We are talking about something that is beyond what has entered the heart of any man, that God has reserved for those that love him. So, it is not for everyone. Access to heaven, heaven's financial fortune is not for everyone. It is for a special group of people. The good news is that anyone who chooses to can be part of that group, can become a member of that group. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. I quoted that scripture earlier. He said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of any man. What God has prepared for those that are loving. So, this heaven's order of financial fortune is for God lovers. For who? It takes a genuine love for God to assess heaven's order of wealth. Genuine love for God. Please note that a genuine love for God is not theoretical. Genuine love for God is practical. It's with proof. You can check it, you can mark it, you can see it, you can measure it. With the proofs, it becomes easy for you to know whether you are truly in love with God or not. Even people around you will know whether you love God or not. It will be very clear. Praise the living Jesus. We just look at proofs of our love for God. Just two of them in this service. That will help us to place ourselves. Because let me say this, the day of his dwell is set. And God cannot lie. Because it is impossible for him to lie. The Bible says, by two immutable things by which it is impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Number one, if we love him, that's if we love God, we will love people. If we love God, we will love people. If we love God, we will love people. The Bible says, and this is the commandment that we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. 1 John 4:21. You can't love God and hate your brother. You can't love God and not love his people. And please, let's do a little bit of analysis of what this means. I trust the Holy Spirit will help our understanding. Because it's one thing to see, it's another thing to interpret it wrongly and just be running with that wrong interpretation. It will still amount to wrong answer. Praise the living Jesus. Loving God's people entails doing good unto them as we have opportunity. Doing what? Doing good unto them as we have opportunity and we are able. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Doing good to the brethren, doing good to the brothers and sisters. Why? Because you love God. Praise the living Jesus. Loving God's people also means being your brother's keeper. Being who? Your brother's keeper. Cain was not. He killed his brother instead. And God asked him, say, am I my brother's keeper? Genesis chapter 4, verse 9. But God expects us to be our brother's keeper. That's loving God, actually. If you love God, you will keep your brother. You hear, come and say, I hear. Praise the living Jesus. It also means never allowing your brother to fall into any ditch, even if you have to feed your brother with the bitter truth. Never allowing your brother to fall into the ditch, even if it means feeding your brother with the bitter what? Truth. It's good for us to mention this to balance up everything. Praise the living Jesus. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 6. Oh, you don't want to tell your brother the truth because he may be angry. And you know that that truth is the one that will liberate him or her. You don't really love him. In other words, you are waiting for him to fall into that ditch and have plenty of problems. Say, I know he's going to fall into that ditch. I know he's going to fall. I know it. But the question is, did you tell him, say, oh, yeah, he will get angry. Let him get angry. Let him do what, but you have done your own to show the love of God. You love God. You love him. You don't want him to have troubles. And if the person says, oh, yeah, he doesn't like me, that's why he's saying what he's saying, no problem. Because somebody may have just interpreted, oh, okay. We said, if you love God, you must love brethren. That means you must give to your brother. It's just about giving, about material things. No, not only that. Praise the living Jesus. You saw the brother is going to the ditch? No. My brother will not fall into this ditch. And you do everything to make sure he does not. You are demonstrating the love that you have for God that has extended and as is now overflowing to your brother. Praise the living Jesus. I see you moving forward in the mighty name of Jesus. And that moving forward begins from this moment in the mighty name of Jesus. Number two proof that we are looking at in this service, if we love him, that's if we love God, we will pursue after souls. We pursue after what? Souls. Thereby committing God to release his blessing upon us, upon our lives, and answer our prayer speedily and expressly. Jesus said to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. The first time he said, Peter, loved me more than this? Say, you know that I love you. That's the Lord talking to Peter. He said, okay, if you love me, feed my lambs. Okay. He said again, verse 16, Peter, lovest me more than this? He said, you know, because you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He said again, verse 17, he said, Peter, lovest me more than this? Oh, Lord, you know everything. At that point, Peter was charged up. You know everything. Even before I say anything, you know. You know that I love you. He said, okay, if you do, feed my sheep. Why was Jesus repeating? No, he wasn't trying to get Peter upset. Jesus was not a lawyer that was trying to pull a fast one on Peter. No. Praise the living Jesus. In the court, you know, you love me. Thank God for lawyers that are children of God. You can do anything just to win the case. I've had a story of somebody. The lawyer was asking just one simple question. Ask the question, only God knows how many times. Just to destabilize the man. So that the man will get angry. You know when you get angry? There are many things you'll be doing and many things you'll be saying that will not be coherent. Are you there? Praise the living Jesus. No, that wasn't what Jesus was doing. No. Jesus was trying to stress the importance of what he was passing across. This is very, very crucial. This is how you will demonstrate that you really love me. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. Praise the living Jesus. I know many of us will say, okay, I love God. I love him. I love him. But hear this. The harvest is ripe. God's lovers are God's laborers in his harvest fields. God's laborers are on God's payroll. If you truly love God, you'll be a consistent and committed laborer in his harvest field. The harvest is so ripe. So ripe. So ripe. They must be handled to prevent them from decadence. You see, everyone you see on the street, every human being that you see on the street, Jesus died for him or her. Everyone on the street, none is meant to go to hell. Actually, the hell was meant for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels. But anyone that tastes death before seeing and knowing Jesus Christ, no doubt is going to the other side with the devil. No doubt. That's why it is called new birth. That's why it is called being born the second time. Anyone that is only born once and died like that, no doubt is going with the enemy. Praise the living Jesus. Everyone needs that experience of second birth in order to escape second death. So, and who does God depend on? Peter. Peter. And who is this Peter? You. Me. You are the Peter. I am the Peter. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. As you dress up in the morning, going to work or whatever, all of as many as you have ordained for salvation today, direct them my way. In the mighty name of Jesus. I must talk to somebody about Jesus Christ today. Not discuss movie or sports and just get carried away or discuss some other topics that don't really matter. I must tell somebody about Jesus today. That means you truly love God. Praise the living Jesus.